Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Tuesday morning, October 26th. Hope you're doing well. So much to talk about, so little time, great topics, great discussions. Do hope you can stay tuned, as I say every morning, for the entire program right here on EWTN and all of our shows on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We are going to be talking about something. I'm really excited about this. I think it's so important for us to learn more about the doctrines of the faith. Sometimes those doctrines that we're often criticized for those outside the faith, especially those who are maybe fundamentalist or Catholics who have fallen away from the faith and gotten into fundamental Christianity. I know I was challenged on this topic, and that challenge forced me to dive in more deeply. And as a result of that challenge, it really was a Romans 8:28 situation, all things working together for good. That challenge caused me to fall in love even more deeply with the Catholic faith and apologetics, being able to not apologize, it's not what that word means, but to explain my faith with zeal and love for what the Church gives us. So, coming up at 15 minutes past the hour, my friend Oscar Delgado, and we are friends, we're old media folks, he's been in the media for about 35 years. I'm a few years older than him, but he's got an extensive background in secular media as a producer, including with NBC. And he's taking all of those broadcasting talents, as he has for many years, and applied them to the Catholic faith, and we're grateful for it. He's worked on a number of different Catholic films and projects. And this time, he is serving as the associate producer of a brand new film, which I believe is being released, or was released yesterday, for starters, Purgatory, purgatorymovie.com. We'll be talking about this. And also, why is it important for us to know about this? And what do we know? Can we be honest with ourselves and say if we can or cannot defend this, especially from Scripture? And you know what? It's so easy to do. And this shouldn't be about winning an argument, but it should be about being able to say, you know what? I am so grateful for what the Church teaches on purgatory, because this is another sign. And Steve Ray and I were just talking about this in the first hour of my program earlier. Another sign of God's love and mercy for us, a purification that God allows for those who are not condemned, because, you know, it's heaven or hell, but then there is purgatory. So if you're in heaven, there's no need for any purification because you're with God. But the other way, obviously we know the results of that, but this place called purgatory, it is real. It exists. The Church teaches about it. Scripture is clear on it, even if the quote-unquote word purgatory is not in Scripture. So I'm excited about this film. And I'm excited about those that are involved, including Oscar Delgado, and I believe Father Chris Allar is giving a lot of commentary as well. So with those names, we know we're in good hands. And I watched the trailer for this, which is really cool, and it has great information in there about some of the saints, including St. Faustina and St. Padre Pio. So Oscar Delgado joining us at 15 minutes past the hour to talk about the new film, Purgatory Movie, the website purgatorymovie.com. And then we'll wrap up a Tuesday morning. Tim Winter, the president of the Parents Television and Media Council, joining us. They penned an open letter to the head of Netflix. And this is regarding Netflix denial that some of the shows, many of the shows that they're producing, are having a negative impact on the public, especially young people. Now, the fact that anybody in media can deny the media influence, just in general, in terms of media influence, it's just preposterous. You talk about, we're always hearing it's been shoved down our throats for the last year and a half, right? Follow the science. We're following the science. How much science do you need to conclude that we are impacted by what we consume? I mean, there are studies from the American Medical Association, the American Psychological Association, Columbia University. Oh, my goodness. All these different think tanks, hospitals, organizations, professional organizations. How do I know this? Because I've written 15 books, all of which mention media influence. My very first book, Noise, is filled, and this dates back to 2007 when my first book came out, filled with studies and statistics, most of which come from secular organizations that no one would ever describe as even remotely conservative, showing a direct correlation between what we consume and how it impacts our lives. in so many ways, not only morally, but physically, psychologically. Look at what we're seeing now with Facebook, and Facebook basically hiding some of the studies. Remember the woman who went to testify? She's a former Facebook executive. There was all this in-house research showing a connection between Facebook and its outlets and body image with young girls. That's just one area. There's a whole slew of studies on what social media does to us and how it causes division and all kinds of other issues. So, for someone to deny an impact, and it's kind of ironic because Netflix itself did a documentary that was halfway decent called The Social Dilemma, looking at the impact of social media on people's lives. So how can this executive say that what they're doing is not impacting people, especially young people? Denial is not just another river in Egypt. Thank you very much, as the country song says. Okay, so that's our program for today. We have Oscar Delgado on the movie Purgatory, and then Tim Winter regarding the denial of Netflix. And I would venture to say a lot of other media outlets who refuse to look at the truth. Well, it's pretty much across the board in so many places today, right? All right, the weather is very severe in certain parts of our country, both on the East Coast and the West Coast. Let's give you a quick look at the weather so you don't have to go anywhere else. A coastal storm continuing to bring high winds and heavy rain, and we're going to talk about this in the news because it's a big story, which may cause flooding to coastal areas of the Northeast, and that's today and tonight. Scattered severe thunderstorms associated with large hail, wind damage, isolated tornadoes are expected across parts of the South and Central Plains later today, and also in the afternoon through the evening into the overnight. So we've got storms on the East Coast, storms on the West Coast, and there's a line of tornadoes that is being produced in certain parts of the country as well. So my advice, if you're traveling, and I know what it's like because I do a lot of it, check before you go, because if you're going to the East Coast or the West Coast, your flights could be delayed due to weather. All right, 7 minutes past the hour, lots of news. As always, let's get to that right now. It's a Tuesday morning, October 26th, and you're listening to the one, the only EWTN. Don't stop praying. That's a message from Christian Aid Ministries to those concerned about the organization's missionaries who were kidnapped in Haiti earlier this month. The Ohio-based organization posted to its website yesterday, it's sensing a great need for prayers, adding prayer is a vital part of resolving the situation. It has been over a week since 17 people were kidnapped by a gang seeking $1 million for each person's safe return. A stay of execution is being denied for five Oklahoma death row inmates. Attorneys for the condemned killers asking a judge yesterday to delay the executions because of an upcoming trial in February, but that request was denied. The upcoming trial concerns whether Oklahoma's three-drug execution protocol is constitutional. With the process cleared to move forward, John Grant is scheduled to be executed on Thursday. There is a warning from the UN that Afghanistan, as Nathan Morley with the Vatican News Agency reports, is on a countdown to further catastrophe, with millions now facing the threat of starvation.
Afghanistan was already in crisis before the Taliban takeover back in August. But now the World Food Programme says the problems caused by conflict have been replaced by an economic implosion. It's warning that more than half the population, that's around 22 million people, are suffering hunger every day. The agency also says the freezing of funds has left local NGOs struggling to work. Richard Trenchard is from the UN's Food and Agriculture Organisation.
Seen in the last few months, it's almost 40% more people are now hungry and now acutely food insecure than they were in April this year. The trajectory is really, really concerning in that as we've been towards the end of this year and into next year, the whole country will be either in crisis or emergency, and the risk of catastrophic humanitarian crisis is there.
The organization further adds that it's urgent to act efficiently and effectively to speed up the scale of deliveries in Afghanistan before the winter cuts off a large part of the country. Last month, the WFP warned that only 5% of Afghan families had enough food to eat every day. To make matters worse, the crisis compounds the impact of a blistering drought and COVID-19. Back in September, more than $1 billion US dollars was pledged by the international community at a conference in Geneva to support Afghans, with about a third earmarked for the WFP.
Catholic news agency telling us UK lawmakers have formally proposed now a special amendment to a bill going through Parliament seeking to guarantee that Catholic priests can administer the last rites at crime scenes. The idea emerging days after Sir David Amos, a longtime Conservative member of Parliament there, was stabbed multiple times during a meeting with constituents at a church on October 15th. According to police reports, police turned away a priest who hoped to give the last rites to the Catholic lawmaker. The amendment, known as 292E, to the Police Crime Sentencing and Courts Bill, was proposed by four members of the House of Lords, the upper house of the UK Parliament. The measure, which is currently at the committee stage, in securing a crime scene, it says, where a person within that crime scene is severely hurt, such that there is a strong likelihood they might die, there is a presumption the constable in charge would allow entry to the crime scene to a minister of religion in order to perform religious rituals or prayer associated with dying. The Senate Majority Leader, in other news, Chuck Schumer, thinks House and Senate Democrats are nearing the end of negotiations on that massive social spending bill. But Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says the bill, if passed, would result in staggering tax hikes for working families, families, he says, who are already struggling with rising food and energy prices.
Even with significant inflation, runaway gas prices, Washington Democrats have spent months dreaming up new cash grabs for the IRS.
An agreement would also pave the way for a smaller infrastructure bill to move forward in the U.S. House. Meanwhile, there is no let-up in those rising gas prices. Today's AAA national average for regular is just under $3.39 a gallon, ending up as the four-week rising streak is still intact. And prices keep rising at the extremes, with the least expensive in Oklahoma, with the prices up past just over $3 a gallon, and sky-high California now above $4.55 a gallon. And Mark Mayfield tells us there's also growing concern among consumers that the Christmas season could be impacted by a perfect storm of increased demand, increased prices, and a lack of supply.
Nearly every item that makes up a traditional Thanksgiving meal is going to cost more this year. Market analysts say turkey is on track to break the price per pound record that was set back in 2015. And it's not just the soaring price of food. The nation's supply chain is struggling, triggering fears of empty shelves and slow delivery times ahead of Christmas.
New York City and the surrounding suburbs will be soaked by up to 6 inches of rainfall today into tomorrow morning. We mentioned this earlier in the weather forecast, but as meteorologist Bill Cairns tells us, the first nor'easter of the season, also bringing wind gusts this afternoon as high as 40 miles per hour.
The timing of all this mess, it's going to be a rough morning around New York, and then later tonight and tomorrow, those winds will knock out power to thousands in southern New England.
A flash flood warning is also in effect for parts of the tri-state area through tomorrow morning. The governor of New York declaring a state disaster emergency on Monday evening ahead of the heavy rainfall. And more than 150,000 homes and businesses on the West Coast are in the dark, Emil Aikida explains, as storms that have dumping record rainfall knocked out a ton of power across the region.
Forecasters calling this bomb cyclone the most powerful storm ever recorded off of the West Coast. Unfortunately, it turned deadly.
Two people were killed near Seattle when a tree fell on their vehicle, downed power lines in California, taking out electricity to more than 100,000 homes and businesses, while another 50,000 power customers were affected in Washington state. The leading edge of that storm system moving across the Midwest yesterday, spawning a suspected tornado along the Illinois-Missouri state line. And Liz Warner tells us no funeral will be held for Brian Laundrie following inconclusive autopsy results.
Laundrie's remains were discovered last week in Florida, and he was the sole person of interest in the strangulation death of his fiancée, Long Island native Gabby Petito. Attorney Stephen Bertolino says the cause and manner of Laundrie's death are still unknown, and his remains now go to an anthropologist for additional study before cremation. Laundrie had disappeared 6 days before Petito's body was found in Wyoming September 19th.
The Cook County Sheriff's Office in Chicago area is identifying another victim of serial killer John Wayne Gacy. Sheriff Tom Darden, Illinois, announcing yesterday the identity of victim five.
We're here today to announce that we have identified yet another one of the victims of John Gacy's massacres, and that victim is Wayne Alexander.
DNA extracted from one of the molars of Francis Wayne Alexander was used to identify him. His remains were found in Gacy's crawl space back on December 26 of 1978. Alexander was killed by Gacy police say sometime between early 1976 and 1977. He is the third victim to be identified after DART reopened an investigation into the Gacy murders back in 2011. The assistant director who handed the prop gun to actor Alec Baldwin last week before a fatal shooting was previously fired from a movie for a gun incident. CNN reports Dave Halls was working on the film Freedom's Path in 2019 when a gun unexpectedly discharged, injuring a sound crew member and halting production of the movie. The company says Halls was removed from the set after that incident and was fired. They added he was remorseful for what happened and understood why he was terminated. It comes days after Rust photography director Helena Hutchins was killed and film director Joel Souza was hurt in a shooting during production in New Mexico. And 17 U.S. news organizations, as Mike Bauer tells us, have started to publish what's known as the Facebook Papers, or articles based on a trove of hundreds of leaked internal company documents.
And there is a real pattern of people who are willing to look the other way are promoted more than people who raise alarms.
That's Facebook whistleblower Frances Haugen testifying to Parliament yesterday. And some of the documents she has leaked, tens of thousands of pages of internal documents, have been leaked, including stories about how coordinated groups on Facebook sow discord and violence, including on January 6th, Facebook's struggles to regulate hate speech and misinformation, the use of its platform by human traffickers, and research harms to young people and more.
And finally, in our news segment at just about 16 minutes past the hour on a Tuesday morning, October 26, I love this story. It just reminds me of the awesomeness of God. Astronomers have found signs of what could be the first planet ever discovered outside our galaxy. A NASA telescope has found what could be a planet about the size of Saturn in a galaxy 28 million light years away from our Milky Way. Astronomers have found close to 5,000 worlds orbiting stars beyond our sun, but they're all within the Milky Way. Researchers freely admit more information is needed to verify indications of a planet outside our galaxy, but they say it could be 70 years before the possible planet comes around for another look. So I mentioned yesterday that Deacon Dom and I were watching a beautiful retreat that Father John gave for deacons and their wives in the Archdiocese of Detroit, and one of the talks he gave was about the power and the awesomeness of God. And he did this whole explanation from scientists on the size of the universe. It was just incredible, the numbers. I mean, I'm not a math person, and the numbers, my eyes were like rolling back in my head thinking, again, the awesomeness of God. He really does not only have the whole world, but the entire creation and the universe in his hands. 17 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back on a Tuesday. A brand new film opened up yesterday all about the church teaching on purgatory. More on that coming up.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at VisitingAngels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs.
Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The soul that crosses into the afterlife awaits its final and fair judgment alone.
E Dio ci dirà: tu all'inferno, tu al purgatorio, e tu vieni in paradiso. No, non è così.
I'm sorry, but I don't understand how one can expect to receive graces from heaven like manna by praying to an image.
This is part of the powerful trailer of the movie Purgatory, purgatorymovie.com, which we're talking about this hour with my dear friend Oscar Delgado. We've known each other for many years. He's a former secular media person, and we're blessed that he's applying all of his producing and writing talents to Catholic media efforts now. He is a partner in OCE Films, and is currently the associate producer, as I mentioned, the new film Purgatory. Been involved in the media industry for almost 40 years, 35 years or more, graduate of Marquette University, and began his career with NBC News, working his way up from Mexico City's bureau chief to Latin American bureau chief and senior war producer and correspondent for the network. He covered the Bosnian War, El Salvador, the Civil War, and Gulf War, among many other conflicts. Went on to produce the film The Learning Curve, released by MGM in 2001. And he and I provide some therapy for each other several times a week through texting and phone calls and talking about the state of today's media. But I'm sure glad that he's using his talents again to help promote the beauty of the Catholic faith. Oscar, always great to talk to you, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on, Teresa. So excited to be with you to talk about this film.
So how did this all come about, to do a movie about the doctrine in the Catholic faith about purgatory?
It's really interesting. The director, Michael, did Love and Mercy, and he read a lot in the Diary of St. Faustina about visitation of souls that would come and visit her in a state of torment, and she'd pray the chaplet for him. And so one of the things we were talking about is, you know, purgatory is something that's not done and nobody's talked about. So he went and he did some research, and he looked at this mystic full of Horak and out of Poland, and said, you know what, let's take her writings, they're approved, everything else, and let's use that. And I was like, oh, that's a great idea. So that's how it started, to try to do something and talk a little bit deeper about eternity. And what happened was, obviously, the pandemic happened, and then all of a sudden death is around you, and then it just started spiraling, and we just started focusing on the type of doctrine about eternity, because everybody wants to know what happens when they're dead, you know what I mean? So
right.
We kind of know, but others are kind of like, well, what really happens? What's going on? You know, so that's how it started.
So it opened up yesterday, correct?
Yeah, so it opened up yesterday. It's a nationwide release. Just type in, you go to purgatorymovie.com, type in your zip code, and then it's going to be near you. It's almost 1,000 theaters. And yes, last night did very, very well, and it's going to be out again October 28th. It's a limited release. It's a phantom release. So it's October 28th. Will be the next showing at 7 and 7 o'clock. And so you can check it out there. Just type in your zip code. It's going to be near you. Promise
you. So what's been, I know that you said that some of the places were sold out yesterday and other places are sold out for Thursday. What has been the response? What are you hearing from folks already on this, Oscar?
Good. I mean, what I'm hearing back, and this is always really interesting place, you know, just you sit in the back and you kind of look in and see in the lobby of the theater, but people come out and they're like, wow, I never knew this or I never knew that. I think it's a reawakening. You know, Teresa, I mean, what happens sometimes is that that people don't think about death anymore, you know, or well, there's funerals and it's a canonization ceremony, and we've really lost our sacred farewell. And so I think that people are awakened to the reality of the afterlife, that we have to make reparation to God and everything that we've done. Even if we go to a confession, you know, there's still things that we need to pray and be detached from, because nothing unclean can make it up to heaven. And
yeah.
So that's the important thing. There's nothing unclean gets in there. So we got to be purified, and we got to be ready to meet God pure and clean.
So after, we're about to go into the break, and we could talk about this in a little bit more detail when we come back, Oscar, but after the opening last night and the next showing on Thursday, will people be able to get this film to show it in parishes, to share it in groups and whatnot?
Yeah, I believe that. The Marians, the Americans are handling all that other stuff, the DVD and the streaming and everything else. But right now we're just trying to, because there's other films that we want to do, but a lot of things depend on how we deal with this, you know what I mean? So we're just trying to get people out to the theaters to really start, you know, helping support what we're trying to do with different films that are coming out and everything else. So, yeah, after that there'll be DVDs and streaming and all that stuff. But right now, for the 28th is the next big shot, you know?
More with Oscar Delgado, associate producer of the film Purgatory, and it's coming out, actually premiered last night, another showing on Thursday, purgatorymovie.com. As Oscar said, put in your zip code to find out if it's playing in your area, and more information. Also on the website, it has a great explanation about Purgatory as well, about the film and also about the people in the film and what our saints taught us about Purgatory. We'll be right back.
"60 Seconds with Father Mitch Pacwa.
The state has responsibility to orient things, but they can't take over the rights of the family, like in China, to have one child and that's it. It's a disaster over there. How many tens of millions of abortions have gone on? And one of the things that, as a result of that, is because of the preference to have boy children rather than girls, you have, for every 1,000 boys, there are 850 girls. This is a great imbalance. Same thing is going on in northern India. So this is where the government cannot take away the primary and inalienable responsibility of married couples and families. And they cannot employ methods which fail to respect the person and fundamental human rights. Beginning with the right to life, the government cannot force you to kill innocent human beings and still be a humanistic government. It's an evil government."
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
What's the definition of frustration? Frustration is the difference between the way it is and the way you want it to be. It's hard to change the way it is. The way it is sometimes is other people, life, circumstances. The way you want it to be is in your power to change. You can close the gap between reality and what you want. The smaller that gap, the less your frustration. It is always easier to change oneself than to change reality. Frustration isn't always what happens out there. It is how we look at what happens out there.
PurgatoryMovie.com opened last night, another showing on Thursday. As I mentioned earlier before the break, we are chatting with one of the associate producers, Oscar Delgado, and has an extensive background in secular media as a producer in news, including many years with NBC News. And I know he's much happier doing what he's doing now, and because it's just eternal work. So Oscar, what I really love about this is the people who are featured in the film, including our very own Father Chris Allar, who's very involved in this, because of St. Stanislaus Popchinski, who died back in 1701, and he founded the Marian Fathers. But Father Chris, I know, talks a lot about this in relationship to the writings of St. Faustina, correct?
That is correct. And you know, it's unbelievable that one of the things that the Marians have, and Father Chris talks about it at the end of the film, is a bonus feature. So don't get up at the end. There's a credits, but then there's a bonus feature that Father Chris talks about the importance of the Marians and talks about the Holy Souls. And it's one of their charisms, you know, and because of Father Paczynski, he really emphasized remembering those that came before us. And again, that's what we try to do now. We really want to remember those, especially with the upcoming month of November, to go to cemeteries. To pray for those that came before us. And we don't do that anymore, too. We don't really think about them anymore. Out of sight, out of mind. Boom, done. Okay.
I know.
Wait. So we got to remember. We got to remember them. So that's one of the important things of this film, is to, you know, rediscover that and to re-promote it, you know?
And I really think it's an encouragement for us to revisit or visit in the first place, if we haven't studied it from an apologetic standpoint, the teaching, the doctrine on purgatory, and to understand where it comes from, because it is so scriptural.
It's very scriptural. You know, Maccabees talks about it. But here's the thing that I want people to take away from. This is a win-win. The holy souls can't pray for themselves. You pray for those holy souls. But you help those holy souls get to heaven. Guess what? They'll pray for you. You know what I mean? It's like a full circle moment. So remember that. It's a great investment. Go pray for your holy one, the holy loved ones, and whoever. You get them up there and you cross them the finish line. Guess what? They'll pray for you while we're down here. And who doesn't need more prayers?
Absolutely. So what did you do? Learn anything new about purgatory and being involved in this film?
I think one of the things that I really learned about how important it is to take time to offer your sufferings and really think about them. I mean, again, we're so busy. We're so busy doing so many different things. But, you know, there's a scene in the film where the father, it's the anniversary of the father's death, and they don't go and don't go visit the grave and don't do the prayers because they get distracted and do other things, you know? Mm-hmm. So one of the things is to remember that our loved ones are still counting on our prayers if they don't, and so we need to just continue to pray for them. And that's the thing that I took away from that very strongly. Get the film and doing the film.
So at any point in the film, I mean, the whole film is catechesis, but is there any specific catechesis that's done, for example, maybe the mentions in the catechism or scripture verses in the film, or does Father Alar touch on that in the at the end of the bonus feature at the end?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, at the bonus feature, he talks a little bit more about the doctrine of purgatory and, you know, the four things that happen at the end after death, you know, where we're going to head up and judgment and final judgment. You know, we all have to go through it, you know. So talks about that and the importance of, like, doing the prayer so that you're mitigating. You know, we have indulgences and everything else to stay out of purgatory or to minimize our time of purgatory. So we really need to take advantage while we're here to do that and to live the life and go to monthly confession to really try to do things. So while we're here and keep that before us, that's how we make it and straight up, or at least have a minimal time in purgatory. That's what I got out of it, and I think people looking at that movie will see that as well.
In addition, obviously, to seeing it now when it's available, Oscar, in the theaters, I really do think this is a great educational tool that we can use. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great education for people that, you know, I just heard about the doctrine, heard about purgatory, really don't know too much about it, but again, I mean, we're living in a time where, unfortunately, death is really all over, you know what I mean, all over us. And so we really need to think about the afterlife. And I think seeing this film and really putting things in perspective will help you live your life now, but also prepare for your eternity.
We're talking with Oscar Delgado, associate producer of the film Purgatory, and it's out now. It opened last night, another showing on Thursday. PurgatoryMovie.com for more information. Very easy to find out where it's playing in your area. They just go to the website and put in their zip code, correct?
Correct. That's it. And then you go, and then they'll take you right. It's almost 1,000 theaters, so it's in a theater near you, T, in a theater near you, so it'll be fine.
So who's seeing this mainly? How are you getting the word out in addition, obviously, to being on Catholic radio?
We're also doing parish bulletins across the country, and we've just gotten a lot of response, you know, Internet, Facebook, all those different things, the social media. But it's interesting that, you know, it's just people are at the showing yesterday. I had a whole cross-section of people, young, old, everybody. I mean, it was kind of and the theater's two-thirds full, so I was very happy with that. So that's what's going on.
I think it's great. The other thing I find interesting is that how in the world, you and I are about the same age, I know I'm a few years older than you, but when we were growing up, somehow purgatory got put off to the side, and people, for some reason, and it's completely wrong, as I was saying at the top of the hour, think that the church doesn't teach about purgatory anymore.
Oh my gosh, this is such a passionate topic. When I was with my grandmother, you know, I used to drive her to the cemetery. We'd take care of my grandfather's grave, and we'd sit there and do prayers for my grandfather, which were flowers, and then when my grandmother passed away, I did that for her, and do the same thing. And then when my mother passed away, I mean, it's like, it's something that's ingrained. I don't know why we've forgotten to pray, and it's something, a tradition. I mean, I'm Latin, you're Italian, mm-hmm. but, you know, we all kind of have that kind of, I think in our culture, a little bit more understanding and reverence for praying for the dead. And I guess it's been lost. It's a really good point to you. I think it's been lost, you know.
And I'm so glad, because this film is going to show the saints that many people love and call on for intercession, such as St. Padre Pio, who's a favorite, and St. Faustina. And those are two powerhouses in the church, just to name a few, who often talked about the church teaching purgatory. So it's really important for us to revisit this and to really understand it. And not to, I mean, we have to be able to explain it. We should be able to explain it, you know, simply to someone who has a question about it. But it's not to win an argument. It is to really understand. And Steve Ray and I were talking about this in the first hour of my show this morning, as he came to understand the teaching on purgatory as a convert. It really, Oscar, is another example of the great mercy of God.
Absolutely. I mean, this is the thing that's really important. The great mercy of God. Purgatory is a merciful act for us. You know what I mean? Because if we don't have that, you know, we end up in another place. So that, I think, is people should come away with. You know what? God loves us so much. He wants us to be with him. But we got to be clean. You know, we got to be, because we couldn't be in his presence if we were not clean. You know what I mean? That's the thing that people got to remember. He's pure love. He's pure love. So we need to be all detached and only thing focusing on him.
Amen. Thanks for doing this. And I hope, in addition to the sellouts on Monday, it'll happen on Thursday, and that people will go after this and use it as a tool in catechism class and adult faith formation, and maybe even in a home private group study, to take this and really decide to open up their hearts and learn more about these beautiful teachings of the church. And I just want to throw out a few things for folks if they want to check it out. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 1030 and 1031, regarding purgatory, it's still in there, has not been removed. Yes, we teach this. It's a doctrine. Different scriptures, and this is something that I love, 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 because everything in the church is backed up, obviously, by the scriptures. Revelation 21:7, 1 Corinthians 3:15, Matthew 12:32-33, Philippians 2:12. Check it out. It's all in there. And also, regarding mortal and venial sins, check out 1 John 5. Yep, that's in there, too, just like the old Prego spaghetti sauce commercial. PurgatoryMovie.com. Check it out. We'll be right back on a Tuesday. Stay tuned.
Bishop Robert Barron.
Find out, in any cultural situation, who's the Lord? There's somebody or some principle, some figure, some institution that has central importance in that culture. Whether it's king, whether it's the military, who knows what it is? Go up and down the centuries. What's the Lord? The declaration of the Lordship of Jesus will always be a challenge to whatever that reigning Lord happens to be. The Lord today is my personal freedom. I decide what my life is. I decide who I am. I decide everything from my gender to the ultimate meaning of my life. Now that personal freedom is so powerful that it's become the Lord. To evangelize the culture is therefore to challenge them and to say, no, it's not your own ego, not your own freedom that's Lord. Jesus determines the meaning of your life. Jesus is the center of your life, not your own freedom.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is Evidences for Christianity. Some agnostics claim that if God exists, he's too distant to be involved in our lives. They say God may have created the universe, but such involvement was eons ago. Maybe he created the solar system, but then he fled, never to be seen or heard from again. Well, how long has it been since God made himself manifest in the world? Was it as long ago and as far away as some doubters claim? Or was it relatively recently that God showed up? The Christian incarnation claims God cares so much for us that he came in the form of a man, Jesus. He was born of a woman, lived, ate, slept as humans do for over 30 years, and was then killed to redeem us. That's hardly a distant, uninvolved God. Such is the evidence for Christianity. To explore more, go to AveMariaRadio.net. Under resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
Okay, so when I read the comments of the head of Netflix regarding media influence or lack thereof, my first response was, Mamma Mia, are you kidding me? I mean, Netflix itself, as I was saying at the top of the hour, and I was just chatting with our friend Tim Winter from Parents Television and Media Council, they did a documentary on social media influence. called the social dilemma. So then how can the CEO turn around and say, you know, we really don't have any influence, especially on young people? So, Tim, last week you penned an open letter to Mr. Ted Sarandos of Netflix, correct? Sarandos. How do you pronounce his name? I'm not sure.
It's Sarandos. And
Sarandos.
Jay from Los Angeles, Teresa.
So your thoughts in terms of him saying, we don't need to follow, quote unquote, the science regarding all the studies out there of connection between what we consume in the media and how it impacts us. What prompted the letter specifically?
Well, it was the quickest flip-flop I think I've ever seen in Hollywood. And that's saying something. He went from saying, well, we have absolutely no harm or no impact on the viewer, to saying, well, actually, it's the impact as to why he gets up and goes to work in the morning. So anytime someone in Hollywood leads with hypocrisy, you should have been taking notice. But when he talked about how he should have led with his humanity when he was accused of not being, you know, responsive enough to some concerns from his employees, I thought, okay, that's the next most hypocritical thing I've heard today, when his show is actually asking children to be groomed for sexual exploitation. Where mm-hmm. is his humanity in that?
So in the letter, you point out a number of problematic shows that they've had on the air. And I remember, I believe we had Melissa on with us, Melissa Henson on, regarding 13 Reasons Why, which was in recent years as well. So let's talk about some of the problematic shows that have been airing on Netflix.
Yeah, you go back to 13 Reasons Why, which was a show that basically romanticized teen suicide. It basically gave suicide as a resolution, a positive resolution for children and their problems. And when 13 Reasons Why debuted, there was a spike in Google search terms for how do I kill myself, and they still dismissed that as irrelevant. And finally, then it was the National Institutes of Health correlated an actual spike in real teen suicide with the show being released. And it was only then that they decided to edit out some of the more graphic scenes. We were just appalled that we actually have the literal blood of children on their hands, and yet they still defy, you know, common sense and reason, saying our shows don't have an impact on the viewer.
You can't have it both ways, right? I mean, on one hand, he says it doesn't impact the viewer, but then the other hand, he says he wakes up because he knows it impacts the viewer. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, people wouldn't spend, you could wipe out all of Madison Avenue and then some if media didn't have an influence. I mean, this is so ridiculous.
I think worldwide, it has never been more abundantly apparent just how much the media impacts and shapes our thoughts, our views, our interactions with others. And it has never been more clear than right here, right now. And for the CEO of one of the most impactful media companies in the world to be suggesting that there is no impact, no harm, it just defies logic. And it's that's what led me to pen this letter, to say, look, you need to sit up and take notice of the harm, the collateral damage you're inflicting on children, a whole generation of children, with your programming.
We're talking with Tim Winter, the president of the Parents Television and Media Council. Go to their great website, tons of information, parentstv.org, on the open letter that he penned to the head of Netflix regarding media influence. Any response, Tim, to your letter?
No, and they do a good job of not responding. But what was interesting in his open letter to his staff, he mentioned some of the criticism that we had levied against him and against Netflix over the last couple of years. So it was interesting to see, so yes, you do actually hear what we're saying. You just have chosen not to respond to it, just to ignore it. And, you know, I guess that's to be expected. They don't want to be seen as being moved or shifted on their position by us. But, you know, we will continue to use a megaphone and make sure it's pointed directly at his ear.
For the last year and a half, almost 2 years now, we have been pummeled with the phrase "follow the science" when it comes to particular, you know, political statements regarding COVID. And the science, Tim, you and I know this. You know, I've written books about this, and I quote you all over the place. You and other members of the Parents TV and Media Council, because you have such great research. The science is overwhelming and has been for decades on media influence.
The science supports and confirms what every parent instinctively knows to be true, that the media diet of a child can have a long-lasting harmful impact on that child's development. And beyond just children, you know, adults, we too are being marketed to constantly through media messages. And you're so right. I mean, this is decades of science. And the only voices, well, the primary voices of those who say, well, there is no harm, comes from Hollywood's agents, people that they have either underwritten directly or indirectly to help them say, no, there really is no harm. It really sounds to me like the tobacco executives.
I was just going to say that. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Didn't mean to jump in front of you there, but it's true. I mean, we heard those statements that internally, the documents saying, yes, we know we're causing harm, and publicly they would refute it. We're hearing that now on Capitol Hill with the Facebook.
We're
saying, we know that there was harm to children, but we chose profit over the harm to children. So at this point in time, at this point in our history, how he can say that there's no harm and no influence, you slap yourself in the forehead.
Well, it's just so outrageous. It's arrogant. It's outrageous, and it's ignorance. And they must think we're really stupid in order to kind of buy this. When anybody knows, there was another study that came out regarding social media, just I think 2 weeks ago, that showed that adults check their cell phone 100 times a day. I've written stories and I have chapters in my various books about how social media and different programs and different suggestions from various outlets are really causing harm to marriages. Just this week, one of our papers in Detroit, for example, the Detroit Free Press, believe it or not, did a story on swinging couples in Michigan with nothing negative about it, promoting swinging with links to different websites, never talked about, obviously, the breakdown of marriage, infidelity, what that causes, the fallout from broken relationships, not to mention sexually transmitted diseases and everything else that goes with that. So you mean to tell me that you can look at all this evidence and all these media outlets trying to push particular agendas, and then you can turn around as a head of a media outlet and say we don't have any influence? Why are you in the business in the first place? Obviously, you want to influence people in whatever way.
And you know, when you look at the entertainment media writ large, what a powerful and positive force Hollywood has been in history and is capable of being. You know, it can bring us the world together. It can unify us when it so chooses. Or it can try to split us in half, which is, you know, seemingly what's happening right now. And when you have the 800-pound gorilla in Hollywood, Netflix, the biggest thing in Hollywood over the last decade is this company, this one company, and the dollars that they're able to spend on programming, is now grooming children with its entertainment content to be sexually exploited, to whet the appetites of those who exploit them, and to basically groom children to be, for their exploitation to be acceptable and normal. It makes my skin crawl. And it's why I get up in the morning every day.
Me too. Absolutely.
And fight this fight.
I mean, if you think about how we as Christians use the media positively to get the basic proclamation, the kerygma out there, we know the influence of Catholic and Protestant media, conservative media, the positive influence that we've had in spreading the gospel message, and how many people, I'm sure, write to you for the great work that you do and how you do an outreach through the media, especially online and with interviews and all your great newsletters and your research publications. So what do we do with this when we see, you obviously did something about it, you penned an open letter, but what can we do when we see these kinds of statements, ridiculous statements, not backed up by science, from media executives?
They have to be called out, and they have to be called out vocally, fiercely, fearlessly, and with the biggest microphone you can possibly bring to the table. The only way these people respond, is when they feel embarrassed, when they feel like they've really shamed themselves. Shame can be a powerful cudgel for us in this fight to protect children. And they have to be called out when they say things like this, and they have to be shown to, you know, whenever they misstep, they must be shown that they have taken a misstep. If they don't, they will accept it as, hey, you know what, that's now okay for me to do, and we must never allow that to happen.
Let's talk a little bit, Tim, about anything else that you're working on or noticing in terms of concerns in addition to Netflix. What are you focusing on right now with the Parents TV and Media Council?
Well, I'm so grateful that you have been calling us by our new name, the correct name, Parents, Children, and Media Council. Earlier this year, the Board of Directors of the PTC voted to adopt a change, and it's a small change to the words "and media" to our longtime 26-year name, Parents, Television Council. You know, children today are not watching their entertainment content on the TV screen in the living room. It is in the palm of their hand, literally, figuratively, 24 hours a day. And I know you've been a big supporter of trying to herald to parents that the importance of not of the screen time and not having it, you know, within the child's hand. So because that's sadly today's reality, we are taking more and more of a position on not just streaming but other platforms as well. And you know, it is just so concerning. In 2008, the Congress passed a law that called for the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, to look at how can we protect children from age-inappropriate material on 21st century media devices. And the FCC did produce one report, which basically said nothing, did nothing, and then they said, well, our job is done here. We produced our report. We are again trying to get Congress to renew that Child Safe Viewing Act and to make sure that that children are protected, that parents have the tools to protect their kids, that the media companies are being held accountable for what they're doing, and that let's help parents be better parents. And so that's one piece of legislation that we want to get back on the docket and renew the Child Safe Viewing Act in Washington.
Yeah, I also want to make people aware of, and if they're not already, which I'm sure many of our listeners are because I feature you guys so much because your work is so important, that you have a whole segment on your website at parentstv.org, Tim, all about research, not only your own research, which you do on a regular basis, and studies in terms of different programs and the effects of media, but you have done a great service for us because you've collected so many of the studies over the years that are out there from secular organizations, think tanks, and professional, you know, groups who are studying media influence, correct?
Yes, it's important for parents to be armed with the truth. And, you know, Hollywood is trying to pump its truth, its version of its truth, into our heads 24 hours a day. And it's important that parents, you know, it's so easy to be manipulated by voices that would lead you in a different direction when it's to their financial advantage to do so. We're trying to help parents to be better parents. It's never been more difficult than today when it comes to monitoring what your child consumes in media and the impact that it has. You know, we go to the grocery store and we try to buy them healthy food. Why are we not more aware of what's going into their eyes and ears?
Amen.
Not just through their mouth. And that's why this mission is so important. And that's why we've taken this turn to add media to our name, to our moniker, to hopefully help parents steer clear of the toxic stuff, steer them towards something that's more positive, and let's, you know, everybody benefits.
Amen. Well, God love you. Keep up the great work. Keep fighting the good fight. Tim Winter is the president of the Parents TV and Media Council. Go to their website. Tons of information. ParentsTV.org, and a whole segment on there, all kinds of research and publications regarding the connection between what we and our kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, everybody on God's green earth, what we're consuming through the media and the impact it has on our lives. But not only that, what we as concerned citizens and especially Christians can do about it. ParentsTV.org. Thanks, Tim.
Always a pleasure, Teresa. God bless you.
God bless you, too. And we'll be right back on a Tuesday morning edition of Catholic Connection.
College football is back this fall. Hailing from sunny Southwest Florida, the Ave Maria University Gyrenes will take on their Sun Division opponent for exciting and hard-hitting football. All games can be live-streamed by going to avemaria.edu and clicking on the Live Stream Football button. The Gyrenes take on Florida Memorial this Saturday, game time at 7 p.m. Tune in for great college football played by an authentic Catholic university. avemaria.edu.
Join Teresa Tamio and Kelly Walquist on a great godly girls getaway in Palm Beach, Florida this January 4th through the 7th. You deserve a break, and no better place than the Breakers in balmy Florida. Join Kelly Walquist and Teresa Tamio for a faith-filled event and lots of fun in the sun for our first wine and shrine on the Atlantic coast.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. My latest book, Jesus, the Master Psychologist, Listen to Him, talks about how Jesus was 2,000 years ahead of modern enlightened psychology. If he's God, he knows the absolute best way to live, whether psychology agrees or whether it doesn't. Go to AveMariaRadio.net to get your copy. Jesus will tell you the best way to live.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Thanks so much for tuning in to a Tuesday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Don't forget, all the information we share with you is archived every single day. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net. Check out the archive section for Catholic Connection, any other program in which you are interested. PurgatoryMovie.com, check it out. Put in your zip code, go see it, bring a friend. And also Parents TV and Media Council, great information on that website at ParentsTV.org. Tomorrow we go over to Rome and a number of other breaking news stories we're following for you. Look forward to speaking with you on a Wednesday. Have a blessed day, and don't ever, ever, ever stop learning and growing in your Catholic faith. Ciao, ciao. See you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.